Okay, I think everybody's here, so we'll go ahead and begin our board meeting today. I'd like to welcome you all here. And we'll, I didn't ask anybody to give an opening prayer. Would anybody like to volunteer to do that? Anybody feel like we need the blessings of heaven here today?
I can do that.
Okay.
Our kind and gracious Father who art in heaven, we humbly bow before thee and thank thee for the opportunity which we have to enjoy thy bounteous blessings, especially here in nature. And we pray that we might have thy spirit to be with us to help guide us and help us make decisions which will benefit of the membership of Deer Springs Ranch and also their families, and help us to be kind and understanding of one another. This we ask humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we'll have Jeff do the roll call here for us.
Vance, you're on the phone still? It was.
Yeah, no, I am. I need to find the mute button and turn it off. I am here.
Okay.
So we have the full board. Yeah, Brent Fulmer, and I forgot your name, brother.
Ron Littlefield,
Lot 274. Joanne Nicholson and Tammy Hunt, Alan and Vera Anderson, Brian Wheeler, and I believe that's everybody.
Did you say Brent Fulmer?
He gets to say, you mean to say him twice.
Oh, I think I started right there, didn't I?
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yes.
I'm hard of hearing.
Okay, before we, as we look at our agenda, are there any pressing needs to change the agenda or suggestions that you have?
Yeah. I think we need to move 2A and 7E down to the executive session.
2A.
7E.
Don't see it, 2.
It's only thing under 2.
Discussion of agenda. And 7E, did you say?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, I would agree on 7E. I think, however, I don't know. The 2A. Any discussion on that?
Well, the previous discussion's all been had in regular board meetings.
I think if we get to, I think we can talk about the mechanics of it, but if we get to real personal matters, then we'll just finish on that. Okay, so our next item is then 2A, and I thought about this a lot driving out this morning from St. George, and as I looked at the whole matter of minutes, we can hire a stenographer, have a tape, and get it word for word. That's one extreme. We've always tried to just do it ourselves and be somewhere in here. But the times that I've been board president, I've seen struggles with people thinking it ought to be just an outline or it ought to have more. And so we discussed the matter previously, and I think there was a breakdown of the mechanics that led to the confrontational problems. I think, as I recall, the meeting we discussed this at, I think you were on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm going to state what I think was supposed to be the policy and point out how I think we deferred from that. We had quite a discussion about that very thing, about the detailedness of the notes, the minutes, and voted that they should be, that we weren't going to go to a word-for-word kind of try to accounting, but rather enough detail to have full capacity to follow the line of reasoning or thought that led to the decision. And so we were more towards outline form than total word for word. And then, as Jeff or whoever the secretary was to put out the minutes, if someone, like in this case Jody, wanted to embellish instead of outline form and in the form of an addendum to the minutes, you could write out your proposal. And this is where I think things, this point, were on the right. After we got the minutes and we got the addendum by way of email, we had 100% consent on how that person, whether it was Jody in this case or anybody else talking about whatever matter, and they thought that the minutes weren't detailed enough, and they so they wrote this addendum, we would all have a chance to read that addendum and say yay or nay. And if we were in 100% agreement, then they would be included at that time on the addendum. And I think that's what did not happen this last time.
Yeah, it wasn't mentioned to get approval.
And so the, we did talk about it, but I don't think you heard that.
Hmm.
So I think that's what led to some of the conflict here this last thing, time. So I think the policy should be, if it wasn't understood, I'm going to review what I think it ought to be. I don't think we have the money or a desire to hire a stenographer to take down the minutes word for word. And we have problems with the recordings. Sometimes we get it all, sometimes we don't. So I think the outline form, but a fairly inclusive outline form, not word for word, but enough that we understand what was discussed and the decisions that were made and by whom they were proposed. And then if a particular board member had felt there was a need to have more detail, then they could submit this addendum. We would either approve it at that time. If there wasn't 100% consensus, then it would behoove that person. By email, objections could be made as to what was being said, blah, blah, blah. There could be discussion. And then at the next board meeting, that could be finalized. But in the meantime, the minutes would still be posted. Our goal is to get the minutes posted as quickly as possible, and we could just have a note, addendum pending, if we couldn't all agree on it. That's how I perceived it in my mind. Is there any discussion, or would that seem like a workable model?
Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty much what we discussed.
Yeah, that's the kind of the way I thought it was. So I'm really sorry that you didn't hear that particular part, and I think that would have maybe helped us out. So I don't know that we need to make any motion. I think that's the way it was understood, and it should have worked this last time. So have a chance. Every board member has a chance to offer an addendum. And it's just got to be accepted or negotiated and then voted upon in the next stream. But there would be a note saying addendum pending.
Okay, that's good.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Can we move on then? Okay, since we don't have a place on the agenda to approve the minutes, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes for, I guess, April.
It's item 2 on the agenda. Oh, it's Pub A.
Yeah, Pub A. Sorry. Do I have a motion, such a motion?
Oh, I have some comments on
this. So you have some comments on it?
Yeah, I have. There's a couple of mistakes I think we should correct.
Okay. Let's hear those.
Well, on for April, it's got on number 2, March, it says, I made a comment on the Garretts, and Brad Hunt made a comment to change with the Garrett had said. And then on the rest of that, it says at the end here that there was a motion made and I voted affirmative and Jody abstained. There's no comment on what Jeff voted and what Brad voted. For one, so that should, it should list what they voted. And on the rest of that, on the last sentence of section two, it says, can the board remove a portion of the audio and written minutes? I don't ever remember hearing anybody say that we should amend the audio. I'm not in agreement of changing anything on the audio under any conditions. The audio is the audio, and it's a legal document. And in reference to my comment about the Garretts, I only made the motion that, or suggestion that they were bad talking the ranch and saying all kinds of stuff. They weren't members of the ranch. They weren't hired. They weren't anything. I saw no reason to put a lot of negative comments in there. But the fact that the last sentence says to change the minutes, I don't want to change the minutes. I only wanted to eliminate the trash talk is all I wanted.
I have been on that same line there. I think the motions or something got messed up because I did not abstain from taking the comments out. I abstained from approving the previous minutes because we didn't get them in time and I couldn't read them. So I did abstain from that vote there. And then the last sentence that says, as our legal team was not present, this action needs to be, okay, that's just commentary and that needs to be scratched out of the minutes. We don't have commentary really in the minutes. That's after the, it didn't happen at the meeting. But my abstention was from the, not the minutes for
March, that time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we only got them like the day before and I was already on the road. And then I don't recall my vote on the Garrett, but I'm pretty sure I would have said yes. So that got confused in there.
Are you following that stuff, Jeff?
I was there and I was confused.
I had another comment. She kicked in too soon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I wanted to make sure whatever Joe discussed, we should find out if that's what he's proposing is agreed to. I was not there last month, so I'm not going to comment, but we should take one thing at a time. So after Joe's through, we need to decide, are Joe's corrections in line with everything that you all believe?
All I want is remove the trash talk. That's all I want.
From the written minutes.
Yeah.
And then we all voted on that in the affirmative. And then that's when we took a vote to approve the minutes, but we said, oh, you said I can't do it. I haven't seen them. Everybody else said, okay. And I think that vote is where I got confused. But the issue, Bill, was as we started talking about the minutes, there was a section about the Garretts and all of that negativity that happened. And it was proposed that we remove that whole section from the minutes. We all voted on it and said, yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
After the fact, the commentary in the minutes that says, whoa, can we do this? Because, you know.
You could do it in the spirit of making it an outline and not a word-for-word thing.
Okay. Well, okay. My question was, should the board go back and clip that whole section out of the audio recording?
I think Vance already did right after the meeting He made a separate section, and I don't see that there's any. I wasn't at the meeting.
We'd basically closed the meeting.
So bottom line is I don't see any reason not to remove it from the audio. And no decisions were made. No legal action was taken. It was just discussion and ranting, so I think we removed it.
Yeah.
Both. So that's, but I wasn't there at the meeting to vote.
That was so. The clarification I wanted to know is, should we instruct Vance to remove that from the audio and to all remove it from the written? Or should, you know, what do we do?
Jeff, can I butt in here for a second?
Go ahead.
We did that the day after. In fact, I did it the same day before I even posted anything. I have a series of emails from all of you guys saying, take it out, take it out.
Yes. Yeah. I agree. I'm up. Any further? Any?
I'm on 8C. 8Z on the April. There's Dale Clarkson made a proposal for hiring Lamb Construction to do the grading of the ranch for his 40th. I'm all in favor of that. Not a problem. The only thing was that I made a comment that if he finds a road where it's washed out, that we give him permission to do that, and, you know, and only that with the supervision of John Harris. And my whole sentence was left out. I think it should be in there because I don't want any mistakes saying, well, we're giving him permission, and then he decided to go a quarter mile and say that wasn't part of ours, we're going to bill you. So he's got my permission to go ahead and fix a washout, and it just has to be reported to John because he's on roads, and if John agrees, then I'm in favor of it. So I'd like my sentence put back in there. Other than that, I'm good with the minutes.
To dovetail off of what he just said, also on that sentence, is that the bill from Lamb would come directly for us for those extra things.
Yes.
That was also said.
Does everybody agree on that?
No, you lost me there for a second. I'm sorry. The bill from Lamb what?
If we do a specific repair that's not part of his just grading. If he fixes a washout, he can bill us for the extra.
He talks to John, and John says, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, as long as there's as long as they're working with the guy over the roads, 100%. I agree.
Yeah, and he was also, we gave permission for him to use our gravel. Yes, sir.
And we'll supply the gravel, no charge.
For that washout area?
For the washout, yeah.
Yeah, because he may run into something like that. Because I think Dale is just going to grade the roads and make them, smooth them out and make them. He and I had a discussion on this, and what happened, and he just told me he was going to do that at his expense, but we kind of, I discussed it with the board at that meeting, and I think we discussed, well, he's going to find some bad spots that might be a little more repaired, and that we would be happy to supply the gravel that's necessary from our gravel, and he can go ahead repair that, and we would pay for that repair.
Okay. Is everybody in agreement, then, with those directions? Did you understand them, Jeff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on, then. You have more? Jody has some more in a minute.
On number one, where the audio for the meeting begins in the middle of the meeting discussion, I was only, 15 minutes late, so about 15 minutes. On my recorders, I sent to Van.
Okay.
Or did he get it from there and that was middle?
Well, when I set it up and recording, I was having some difficulties. And I told Vance, hey, make sure that it worked. Apparently, I didn't know if it worked or not. So you came in, and so that's where the recording came from. So that's why I noted that the audio recording started about 15 minutes.
Ask him which one he got.
Vance, which recording did you use?
I had to use Jody's because you weren't able to start it from your end for some reason. And yes, the audio started part way into the meeting. I don't have a number for you on where.
It was about 15 minutes in.
Well, I mean, you know, you can split hairs about minutes, or you can just say that the audio started part way into the meeting and leave it from there and move on.
That's what I did.
Staying in the middle of
the meeting. The audio meeting begins in the middle, so it was 18 minutes. Middle of this story, that's where it starts.
Minutes into that?
Yeah.
That's when I read that, it would seem to me that middle of the whole meeting.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what I assumed, the whole meeting. What you're saying is correct. It could be...
So the first, that whole line. The first item on the discussion agenda was the meeting minutes, so it started about the middle of that first discussion of item number.
Why don't you say then the meeting... the first meeting's first discussion on minutes.
About first item.
First item.
Yeah, first item.
And on 7C, the name you're looking for is Lloyd Jessup. You can fill in the blank there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
Okay, that's
all done. Okay, sorry, just got you out. Okay. Let's move on then to financial report, and we'll have Jody take it away on that.
And, Ryan, if I forget you at the end, just hang on, okay, if I miss something, all right? Okay, so financials. Oh, y'all have the P&L that was just handed out to? Online. We have about $111,000 in the ranch checking account, ranch manager's account, about $1,400, savings account, about $11,000. Now, when I do these reports, these are only up to the first of this, well, the last day of the month before this meeting, so things have probably changed since then. I went ahead with the expenses that have come up and that weren't in our previous budget. I went back and made a revised copy of the 2017 budget that really anticipated having to go back over and cut some money out of categories. But after doing a review, because we sent out lien notices, we've collected over $10,000 from that. So it kind of saved us having to go back and butcher up the budget again. So I'll pop this out and we'll talk about where we are. I've got a couple extras if anybody in the would like it.
Well, you should have it. Yeah, I printed mine.
I send one to you? Okay, so if you go to line one, we've already met and exceeded our assessment income that we projected for the year, so that's really good. And like I just said, some of the past due accounts were paid because of the liens that were sent out. So our income is very, very good for this time of year. We projected $135,000 for assessments. We've already got more than that. I'm missing the P&L. Let me get
one. Do you know approximately how much more?
Yeah. There it is. Well, from... Okay, this is a little bit different than my numbers. 126. Is that what your QuickBooks looks like? Is your assessment income?
That's what it was. Yeah, I didn't think we had gone over, but I knew we were really close. Right now we're at 126.4, so we're the same.
Oh, I guess I was counting the other.
Oh yeah, just adding it in.
I added it into that apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Where I got my numbers from.
Yeah.
So if you look at line one on the new revised budget, that's what that shows. Well, the income. Sorry. Don't have the actual versus the budgeted on that. But then you can see down on line 18 where the extra 10 grand was put in.
That's where the blue thing is. Right?
Yeah, that's where the blue is. We also, if you move to line 52, I accounted for the extra dollars going toward the admin management salary. So that's put in there. If you go to line 67, we anticipated our director's insurance being at $1,685. We went back and talked to them about some particular clause they had that we didn't need. It was reduced, so we only paid $816, so that put us another $869 ahead, so that's in blue. That's extra. Okay, if you move to line 114.
I like these blue things.
Yeah. Now, here's where we spent money that we did not budget for, and that's why they're in orange, but they were on our wish list, so we went ahead and I guess we got them done. So the HQ remodel, we spent $5,097 on that. The laundry shed was about $6,800, and the backhoe tires were about $2,000. So that was those are the ones that we spent that we weren't accounted for in the budget. And moving on, here we got the laundry shed. Okay, so with the extra income received and the 3 months of salary paid, because we didn't pay ranch manager January, February, March, with these changes to the additions to the budget, we're on track to end the year with about $4,500 in the bank. So we're okay. We don't have to cut any departments anywhere, but let's not let that money burn a hole in our pocket because we still want to talk about the dump truck and septic pump on cabin one and the chimneys, and now we're looking at roof repair on cabin four. So those things were not in our budget, so we have to be really cautious of how we move forward with the money. Right now, we're still on track. So here's the revision. I didn't make any changes. It's just what it is.
That's great.
So you guys can do that. Okay. That's all I got for financials. Mara, you have anything?
No, except I just need to make note of thanks to Barry for all his work and helping me get all of the things stuff figured out. So thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, that's everything then. What about this Costco membership, credit card?
Oh, boy, I need that one. Are we there?
Yeah. Okay. I guess then those items are yours, huh?
Is Mia, you looking at me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So on the Costco membership, yes, I have that has been acquired, and I have a letter for the Andersons to take in so that they can take the second of our membership. As you know, when you purchase a membership, there's another free membership that comes underneath it, so they'll be able to have a card under the main card for your spring grant, and they'll be able to make purchases when they go in, as well as online purchases. With that subscription, we went ahead with the executive business, so that I can now use a credit card processing company, which is 3C. The credit card processing company comes through Costco. It's called Elavon. And their rates are extremely competitive. We will be able to transact for that more than about 1.3% lower than we're transacting right now on all of our credit cards. So that's a significant drop for us. That was one of the savings there, besides the other benefits of that. So I'm working on getting that set up. Also, through that processing, we'll be able to set the Andersons up with the ability to process credit cards out here as well. And we're in the middle of those details now. And once they get completed and authorized, then we'll take the next step and get these guys set up, and I'll be set up, and we'll be ready to go. So those are my updates.
That's a giant step forward. That's great.
And one thing you forgot to tell them is, because we're executive memberships, we get reward cash back every year. That will pay for our membership. That will more than pay for our membership.
Right.
That will help us surprise come September when we get that check-in.
Yep. You're right.
Thank you. So all the way back. And gas. Oh, you're too far away to get gas. Because you can get rewards, that's cash back on your gas, too, but that's too far to get gas. Unless you're there already in town.
Perfect.
Okay. Any questions from the board? Let's move on to our caretaker's report. Alan, Priya?
What do you want reported?
You're up on the right side of the grass, and...
not much longer.
Okay, why don't you give us your general... I mean, I've met you once. I don't know how... Others have had more time with you. You're here. You've kind of been weathering through the mess of picking up pieces and organizing and a lot of hard kind of messy things. I'm sure I speak for all of us that we really appreciate and understand that it's not been that easy. The spring is here, and we think we have a beautiful place, but we'd like you to... Why don't you, for our members and everybody, just give us your feelings or your thoughts. Unless they're too negative, maybe we'd have to take them one-on-one. But I know you might have some things to say about Brand, so.
These guys don't know how to give a manager's report. So let me help.
Okay.
If I have any criticism of these guys at all, it's going to Park. All right. Now, you understand that my level of cleanliness is different than the rest of the world. Well, maybe not the rest of the third world, but the rest of America.
I'm just standing up.
I would have no problem eating right off the floors of the cabin. I mean, they are that clean. Maybe not cabin three. That, you know, floors messed up. But these guys work so incredibly hard. They work. I keep telling them to stop. That way, so they can. Anyway, I have no idea how nice it is Okay? You guys should appreciate that to no end. So, going forward here, I'm going to take a few. They don't realize it, but once you get Memorial Day out of the way, things will start getting easier. That first 15 minutes, things will start getting easier. The only other thing I can think about is Alan put your hat on because I have to read lips and I can't see because the sun bouncing off your head. Much better. So, do you guys have any questions about what's going on?
There is everything lined up pretty well for to be ready for the first group on Memorial Day weekend. We in good shape there.
No, we're still working on the upper cabins in 9 and 10. But they'll be ready.
Are we sold out this weekend?
Yes.
So all cabins were rented for 2 days.
Not this weekend, but Memorial Day.
Right. Yeah.
And then there is one more in June right now that is Father's Day weekend. And I can't remember if there's another one, but there's another that's close. Probably 4th of July weekend.
I can say one thing. The longest time I've been here, I've never seen vehicles parked in that cattle.
That's right.
Lean to, whatever we want to call it.
Tractor shed.
Always full. It's cleaned out now on a nice, clean road. A vehicle parked inside.
It's now the ranch house. Carport.
We have a garage there. So, good job.
Did you get the shower fixed in 4 that was leaking?
Yes.
As far as the ranch report goes with you at this first time out, there's too many things that have been fixed for you to list and even remember. I'd be interested in knowing what you found that you think should be repaired
to bring to our attention so we could get it done if need be. So if you know, if you've seen something that's definitely in need of repair, throw it on the table and let's make
a
decision.
Well, probably the first thing that right in line for me. I made it from the gate down to the whole wood chip shut down. I won't even touch. I jumped it. I won't even drink.
Is it the engine in it? Did it turn over?
Nope. Oh, but
locked up.
I mean, it was running fine, and it just went poof smoke and stuff.
What kind of riding mower is it?
Sitting right out there with us, no hood or anything. We just got new tires for it, the front of it.
Anybody know? Is it a Sears? Is it a...
I'll look at it afterwards.
Yeah, that's afterwards. That's the hardest thing. We've been pushing, you know, all this.
Push forward. I have an old riding mower where the engine's good, but everything else is kaput. So if it's compatible at all.
Yeah, we got... There's two riding lawnmowers out there. The one shot, and Joe, where you can take the engine out of it and see if it. But yeah, if we could get the yard, if we could get a riding lawnmower, we could take.
Maybe we can move this. Maybe it's a starter. We can push.
That's what I was thinking. But I don't. You know, until we get these cabins done, I don't have time to.
Yeah.
Spend on. Mechanic, and it just takes too much away from it.
Okay.
To do stuff like that.
I'll look at it.
But as far as that's about the number one thing. Is just get that mower going.
How's inside the house doing for y'all? Is it staying warm now? You're able to fix that or?
Well, they haven't fixed it, but we'll do. It's really sufficient.
Okay, good.
A shot has become this farmer days now.
Sorry?
They fire, like, what's his name, Sean King?
He's getting the parts.
Oh, he's getting the parts.
He's getting the parts. He's got to get them all together. And then he said he'd give us, probably call you, Mariah.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, I neglected to mention what a good job you're doing. You've saved my bacon many times by making phone calls that I can't make. He's gathering all the stuff together. He's going to give us a couple days notice. And once he does, then we'll know he's coming out. So we'll be ready, you know, ready for him. I don't think we have to move any furniture or anything like that. But we might, I don't know what it entails. We might want to just haul that stove out of the house so he can do the repairs without making a mess now. So there shouldn't be much long.
Did you get the window fixed in the mudroom?
If I can, Prince, incredible.
I think we'd all agree with you on that. That's great.
Tammy and Brad have been. And taste our bacon as far as that time of month. as far as the morale, both Brent, Brad, and Tammy have been instrumental. It was like being put into a huge pile of manure and trying to move that out the field with fork. But that helped a lot, especially with my attitude. So I want to give them my appreciation.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
One more time.
Thank you very much.
Can't thank
everybody
enough of you guys here that were helping too.
So. And Brent has given us many illustrious and literary accountings of the transactions. And although I don't always comment. I tried to comment one time, and I think he didn't think it was funny, but it was meant to be funny. but I can't even come close to you now.
I have a plethora of writing talent that I need to express.
Well, I think we've all been very, very entertained, but very appreciative of the information as to what's been going on.
Brad, I just got one comment. When you come out to the ranch, it's like coming home from work, you know. All you see is all the things your wife and the kids didn't get done. there's a million things that we'll never know that these folks have done and are taking care of us, because it's done now, and now you don't notice that it's not there. But I promise you that there's a million things. The things that you do see and notice, there's twice as many things that you'll never notice that got done and taken care of. And we appreciate Alan and Fita. You guys are a great fit and part of our ranch family, and welcome aboard. We're grateful and glad to have you.
You know, and they might not realize all the emails that are sent and all the things that Brent lets us know that they're doing and what they're accomplishing. So we do get all that. So we know you've been busy, and we kind of like know what you're up to and how much you're doing. And they have nothing, everyone's nothing but high regards to what you guys are doing and how you're doing it. So know that we're still getting it, maybe, and I don't know if you're in those loops all the time with email, but that you know that we know what's going on, and we really appreciate it, that what you're doing. And the hardship that it is when you come into something like this. But you just, you know, pace yourself, and Brent says you work too hard. Pace yourself, and it didn't get this way overnight. It's not going to change overnight. It's going to take a long time. And just little baby steps at a time to get us where we need to be.
Well, I have to say some positive to everybody that I've met, John and Joe. They've been instrumental also, and I mean, the ones that come and visit regularly are all encouraging. So it's definitely a team effort. If if nothing else that can be accomplished in this whole thing. It's not just us two or Brent or whatever. It's all of us working together and making this happen, because it could be part of heaven, you know.
I think as you get to know more members and the more of those that are out here more in the summer that will stop in and say hi, you'll get the feel for the kind of family feeling more and more that there is, and you'll make a number of really good friends, and that'll be enjoyable to you. We hope that will be a reward beyond money to you. So let's move on, and we don't want to have a long board meeting, so let's get back to and I'm standing because my back's been very good. I want to sit for a long time, especially these kinds of chairs. My back kind of bulges out in the back, and I have trouble. So if I get up and down, that's why. So, okay. There's some things under the legal aspects. We've got, and Vance, I'm going to let you pipe in if you have anything to say. I just said a quick thank you. But I haven't engaged in any ongoing conversations with the county. Anything, any updates you might have, Vance?
You guys already noticed that Brent can type 83 words a minute or whatever it is he told me and gives you much. I've been in on a lot of that stuff and trying to be as helpful as I can and stay out of the way when that was actually necessary. Nothing specific comes to mind. I can. Which was there anything I may have missed? Were you asking me a specific question or just a chime in kind of thing right now?
Well, we were given lots of information from Dirk and
oh, the staircase thing. I'm sorry. That's what you're asking me about, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. All right, yeah, there are lots of updates. Of course, if any of you read the Southern Utah News, you know that the Secretary of the Interior made it into town. Lots of coverage of that. This thing, of course, what started out as just being a resolution from the county commissioners has now been morphed into an executive order asking for a review. That's my next task, is to get that up on the webpage. The information on the web page, there's a place where you can comment on the national version of this whole thing, and I hope people look at that and kind of, have something to say about it. There's something like 50,000 comments thus far since last Sunday when it went live on the website, but I'll be updating that. There's so much stuff happening right now that I'm a little behind on doing that, because it's almost daily. There are, since it's now a federal thing, there's just a torrent of information on this whole thing. But I'll be putting up some new stuff there. You guys can all Google it yourselves and find out for yourselves what's going on. It's gone national now. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. if there's anything that we should be engaging the county, or directly, or if they're respecting hang on that, everyone, and let's always talk about it. Know of anything that way right now?
No, the county's just working things out. We just need to, we're all kind of looped in. We got signed up with the public meeting notice thing. I kind of watch everything very carefully. Everybody's welcome to do that on their own, however they decide to do it. No, there's no decision as yet been made on anything. I might suggest that, again, as a ranch, as in total, we might want to think about a response to the executive order as a ranch, sort of like we did with the county. Say, hey, this could impact us. We want to be in the loop. We have concerns, something along those lines. But I'll kick that around with you guys offline via email.
Okay, Vance. And I think And I think everyone would agree. I would rely on you to be our ombudsman or spokesman for something like this. So if you feel we should be responding, so I would appreciate you coming up with that document or written document for the minute.
Correct. Yeah, I'll work on a draft or something, and I'll send everybody the links to the public comments that are piling up on the federal site. And just take a few minutes and just obviously with approaching six digits worth of stuff, it's hard to browse them all, but you can kind of look through them and get the gist of what's going on. They relate to monuments all over the country, of course, of which this is just one that's under review. I will look into that. It'll be a little less specific to than the county one, because the county one is very local, you know, and there will be things that I talked about there that won't make any sense to the federal thing necessarily, but I'm kicking that around because I'm doing that myself. I've already sent them a letter on my own. I'll be responding on the website on my own. Everybody can pitch in.
Okay, thank you very much. Before we move on to the next item, just as a fun note, I noticed that peacock over there. Is that a female one?
That's the male.
That's on top of the fence.
Oh, there's the male on top of the fence, but on the road, out in the road.
That's female.
My wife has made a request that I bring back a few of the peacocks that we salvaged to not starve out here when nobody was here. Are you up for any more peacocks, Pat?
She wants to return them? Is that what you're saying?
She's telling me get rid of them. I'm saying, no, I'm not going to get rid of all of them. I might take one or two back.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Next weekend when I come up, I'll try to bring a couple.
Male or female?
I only have one female and four males, so I got to get rid of two males. So then this guy will have competition. And also, did you obtain any chickens yet? Well, then I'll bring you up a bunch of chickens and some roosters, too. And then you'll have some fresh eggs, okay?
Roosters don't lay eggs.
Do they want the chicken?
Is that all right? Do you want chickens? Would you like some of those egg-laying chickens? Okay. All right. Can we get back to the agenda then? All right, let's see. We are on approval of final draft of rules and regulations. I know Barry put endless hours into it. Jody's put endless time into it. I would entertain now any discussion, hoping to move to a resolution to accept and where we're at this point. So, Jody.
We thought we were done, and then Mariah brought up two really good points that I sent. I sent everybody over the revised last final version, final, a few weeks ago, and then Mariah was looking, and that was mostly changes on the reservation system, and then Mariah was looking further at some of our verbiage in there and brought up about the water hauling fee, and I forget what the second one is.
What about if they had two lots?
They had an assessment current on one lot. Did they vote?
Oh, yeah. So we need to make those.
I'd like to comment on that last one about the lot thing.
The assessment part of the water hauling?
No, the assessment part.
Okay.
I think we don't have a whole lot of leverage, and in the past sometimes members have paid on a lot or a few lots. Some people have five, some ten, some lots. And whatever leverage we had to get them to pay their dues instead of waiting until the end of the season right before the voting at the annual meeting to pay, I think it's motivation to say that you have to pay for all of your lots, although I see kind of a legality of, well, you paid for one lot, you ought to have the rights to use that lot's stuff. So
you're going to run into legal problems if you prohibit somebody that's paid a full assessment on one lot to not be able to vote and represent their voice on that lot, whether they paid on all the rest or not. So,
well, I'm not talking quite so much about the voting thing as probably encouraging the pay so for usage like cabin time and stuff like that. But it's probably the same principle, right?
Either way, if you separate, if you're then treating anybody that owns multiple lots differently than you're treating single lot owners.
How so?
Because bottom line is, if I have one lot and I paid on it,
then you can use
it. Then I have to be able to use the benefits related to that lot.
But those are the only benefits.
Well, all I'm saying is you're going to have difficulty in enforcing that if it comes push comes to shove. Because if I have two lots and I've paid in full on one, then I've fulfilled my complete obligation related to that one, and I have to be able to use the cabin time and boat and enjoy the benefits of that one.
I see the logic in that.
I think John has a comment. I don't.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have one lot paid and you have 2 weeks, we'll say a cabin time, you can use 2 weeks. You got another lot would have 2 weeks on it, but you can't use it because it's not paid. Is that correct?
That's right. And ultimately our leverage for people paying assessments is that ultimately we'll take their lot away and have it foreclosed on and sold. I know that nobody wants to do that.
That doesn't help our monthly budget out, though. We have to wait till September to get...
Or even the next year on that.
But anyway.
I would like to see it written that way in the bylaws, but it is not. So as far as I'm concerned, we've already set precedents for 30 years. There are many, many, many years have gone by where people have had two lots and paid on one and voted for one. So it's already been done for 30 years. I don't see how we can change it now.
And it's probably legally not wise. So
okay.
Is everybody comfortable then with that change? And how about the water hauling change?
Here's what we kind of thought. Like if they have, say we have two lots, they have a cabin on one lot and nothing on the other one. They would pay water hauling fees for the one that has the cabin because there's nothing on the second one. If they have a cabin on one lot and they're grazing cattle or sheep or doing agriculture on the second one that would require water, then they have to pay on that one too. But if it's bare land, they don't. That's just what we're thinking.
Does that make sense? Do you have the written form of that?
No, we do not. Supposed to be discussed.
I read it. Did anybody else read it, or do you feel comfortable accepting it or not?
I think the current version of the rule addresses everything. I don't think we need to change. We do need to have an understanding that if you're using water on one lot, you pay the water hauling fee on one lot. If you're using it on two lots, you got to pay for two lots. So
kind of the same principle as the other one. Yeah.
I agree with that.
I agree also.
Yeah.
So we can leave that one the way it is.
You get full benefits on what you're paying on.
Yeah.
I apologize for my lack of reading that. Does it say that clearly? That's where I'd like
no,
to
it,
draw clarification.
It doesn't say specifically address saying if you pay on, no, it doesn't. But I don't know that it necessarily needs to, as long as there's an understanding that that's how it works, and that's how it has worked forever.
Okay. Until we have the one issue that comes up, and then we're going to go, why didn't we change that then?
Well,
no, we... Awesome. All right. Barring any, are there any other items of discussion on the
question? Tony, what's the date of your revision? The last version you have?
I have to see it. Home. It's like,
well, the
it was like
March. Like, four.
March, yeah.
No, it's way past that. And no, it was, I sent it out.
It's about
two
weeks
ago.
Ago.
Yeah. You update the title, the one
it
I got.
2017 version 3 or version 4, yeah.
Well, but in the caption of the rules, there it says most recently revised. I think it says March 2017.
No, I think I changed that even.
You changed that to the date of when you sent it?
Yeah, I believe so. Let me pull up my laptop.
Which one did?
At the end of the day, that date should be whatever date we adopt those rules here in this meeting.
Well, we're going to change one. No. Let's see. We're going to... The one rule and reg we just discussed and felt okay about, are we going to...
I just leave it how it is. It adequately addresses it? That.
The assessment part two? Okay, so just we're done. We submit that final version that I put in 2 weeks ago.
I think we adopted as is and put this behind us. This has been going on
yeah.
for a year and a half, 2 years, and we need to adopt it and be done.
I'm getting a hole and buried.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and make the motion that we accept as of March 17th. Is that the date on that one?
Mine says the 4th, so you want to get the actual date.
Didn't I see 17 on right here?
No,
March 4th. The March 4th revision 2017.
No.
Hang on. Yeah, that one
it
2 weeks
ago. It might take you a bit here to find us.
Yeah.
The sunlight on the screen is really hard to...
We all received that.
I think if we just adopt the most recent version of the rules and regulations and we date it today, the day of the adoption would work.
I would so move that.
Right.
Okay, there's been a second. All in favor?
Aye.
What are we voting for?
To accept the latest version of Jody Simpson.
Aye.
The voting, Jeff?
I said aye.
The voting is unanimous on the motion. Hooray!
Okay, I'll get you the name here.
Okay, the other, you keep looking for that.
Okay.
The other thing was we had the question of the bylaw change that we would propose to members. I think it was in March that we brought up the state's version for HOAs on the removal of officers, and we had a straw poll in favor. Barry had not had time to review it. And so we granted Barry that privilege, and so here we are. It's one of those other lingering things, and any more discussion, Barry? Can you give us some light on that?
I looked it up, and it appears to already be the law, so it's binding on the association whether we adopt it or not. It is what it is. It says what it says. It appears to me that it basically says you can remove one or all members of the board, but you have to give notice to the meeting. It has to say that is the purpose of the meeting.
Yeah, just a little clearer, more clarified.
Yeah, so it applies whether we adopt it or whether we vote to. It's kind of like 55. It's kind of like the seat limit. It's the law, so we.
I would make a motion that we don't rush in. I mean, well, any more discussion?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead.
So going back to that day, which was, 3 months ago now or something, I did finally find my discussion with Bruce that happened in May of 2015.
But will it change the state?
Well, I don't know. I wanted to clarify from Barry. From what I recall from our conversation before, that you were talking about the quorum of membership that needs to be here to do that. And something, you know, was in my head about, something bugged me about this. I can't remember what. So in the conversation with Bruce, and it was, you know, like I said, 2015, because our bylaws do not stipulate how many constitutes a quorum of the membership, he said whatever shows up, like today, well, if we had 30 people show up, 2/3 is all we need that day to do it. It doesn't hold, and that's what it means.
That's incorrect.
That's what he told me. I can read it for you here.
A quorum is at least half of the people eligible to vote. So any meeting of the members would require the appearance of at least half the members, either in person or in writing, and in the board meeting, then at least half of us have to show up to have a quorum. That's in state law.
Let me read what he told me here.
But if it's state law, it wouldn't matter.
Well, state law, he quoted state law. He said, since we don't have that stipulated in our bylaws, it reverts back to state law. Let me find this. Utah Nonprofit Act fills that gap when there's nothing stated. A quorum, unless otherwise provided in the bylaws, is anybody that shows up. So that way, I could read paragraph number 13, requires 2/3 votes on all votes, 2/3 of all votes cast. That would suggest to me that it's only the number cast. If you have 30 people show up, then it takes 21 to pass the amendment. If you have 100 people show up, then you need 67.
And I guess I just disagree. I mean, if we wanted to, we could amend the bylaws to say a quorum is half of the quorum in the members' meeting is half the members to clarify, but I don't know.
You know, and that would be a possibility to do that, but it would take more time. And if we just adopt what the Utah State Code is already, then we don't have to do any work on it. We're done.
I'm telling you, if you don't have to adopt it, it applies. We don't have to.
Well, we've got two different things going here, so.
I think it would apply, too. I mean, it's state law, Utah state law.
Our bylaws are silent as to what a quorum means. So then you look at state law, and state law says a quorum is over half the eligible voters.
Has that changed since 2015, do we know? Because it could have.
I looked at it when we had this discussion before.
So I think before we move on that, I think legal, you guys, you and Barry, or you and Bruce could talk that through and find out which way is
again,
the current way.
Okay, if this would, so your worries, what you could add all we'd have to add is one. We'd read it saying it says requires a quorum, and in brackets you could put a quorum meaning 50% or more of the members.
Yes, but you'd have to do a bylaw amendment to make that stick.
Right.
And I'm not opposed to doing that. I'm saying it already says that, but if we want to go to the effort of amending the bylaws to specifically say that, I'm okay with it.
Well, that would give comfort to...
Well, yeah, I've got concerns on it now because I hear the way you're...
How much would that cost to run a voting... To run it through?
We wouldn't do it separate. I would propose that when we send out all our mailings for the annual meeting... We just have that as a thing they vote on.
As long as we don't incur extra expense,
right?
Feel good things. If it is what it is, then
it is what it is. We add that.
If we want to clarify, and it's not going to cost us, I'm fine with clarifying. Because mm-hmm. you know, the more clear we are, the better.
As
happy
long as
we all are.
If we set
out, don't spend money on trying to clarify something that already is what it is.
If we send it out with the notice for the annual meeting as part of the ballot anyway, and we got 66 or 67% of the members responding positively, it's done. There's no extra fee or cost other than I would want to just draft up an explanation of what we're doing and a ballot.
Stating that that's the Utah law, and we just wanted to
clarify
the one thing.
That a quorum, that a members meeting, in order to take action, requires a quorum, which is at least half of the voting. I can put it together.
That'd be great.
Does everybody feel comfortable with that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, clarify.
Then I'll make a motion that we so do and have that prepared for our mail out for the annual meeting.
Okay.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Everybody?
Vote is unanimous.
Vote is unanimous.
Yes.
Okay. Assignments on water testing. Future water testing, update on members' plan, 40th birthday. That's all under number six.
Okay. As far as water testing, we're up to date. We're working on getting additional people certified to test water. It's been kind of a circus trying to find out who and what's required, but I'm working on it with the help of Brent and Vance, and I'll have more to report our next meeting. We would like to have other water testers available so that we don't get stuck in a pickle or don't have to hire somebody out of Kanab to handle that, but we're working on it.
Question, I heard that you don't have to have a specific title or certification to do a water test. Is that true?
You don't have to have a certification to take a water sample, meaning go up and fill the little thing with water and turn it in. But the system has to be overseen by a certified water operator, which currently is,
Paul?
I don't know why I just went blank.
Paul.
But we need to have others ready to go because I think over time we need to be self-sufficient there.
I agree.
Should we not ask the Andersons to take that on?
We would.
Well, let me figure out how complicated it is. The website that I was looking at and some of the information I've gotten so far is it may be somewhat expensive, and I don't know what you guys paid when Paul got certified, but...
It seemed like we paid for him to go to one or two courses.
Yeah, about 544 is what I can remember. That could be.
Bottom line is, let me get some information. I've got to call into the guy at the Rural Water Association, and I found some information on the website. I think it's too early to jump to the let's do this point. I need to get you some more information, then we can decide how to proceed. But it is being addressed.
Pretty good.
Question, the upper cabin system, do we have that slotted to be tested this week or something? Okay, good, thank you. So it'll be ready to go for next week?
Oh, yes, we're
making
every effort to cover that and get it taken care of. Update on the 40th birthday celebration. My understanding is they're having a small open house, but the celebration they were anticipating that they were going to do road improvements and those kind of things has been postponed. They don't have a date, so it's kind of on hold. I don't know a lot of details other than...
It's kind of what we read on the our emails, right?
What's that?
I think, did you send something out in the email?
Yeah, it was in an email.
Yeah, I think I read that.
So it's on hold for all intents and purposes.
Okay. All right, agriculture, Fred.
Okay. Update on, let's get
let's get to the bottom and come up here. Let's go to F first. I don't know why I got RV pad for camping on my on my part of the agriculture. Maybe because they're going to take part of the rangeland.
So you put a note in the minutes to ask Mariah to add it to the minutes in the agenda.
Yeah.
Your item.
We did have a member come to our last meeting, and he had a request that it would be nice if we had some place for people to park. Personally, I think it would be pretty easy to do up along the air strip on the right side of the road as it goes on. There's natural pull-off places
on the right going
that we could just grade a couple of those and maybe put some gravel on it, and somebody could go and park. They wouldn't be able to, you know, they have to be fully contained. But so far, the ranch does not have a dump station or RV station for that to happen. I wouldn't necessarily want to encourage a lot of outside RV people coming in.
Oh.
But if there's...
Would that be too dusty, do you think? A spot? Would they want to park there?
I have some concerns about that location because everybody would drive past it.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the sun in the summertime, so they're not going to have any shade at all.
And it's dusty.
And it's going to have all the traffic going right past their little camp spot. If we went and decided to do it on the north end of the airstrip by the 40,000-gallon water tank up in that little grove, it's off the beaten path. It's
sometimes people will camp in the shade if they park. If they put their awning down toward the sun, then that shades them for the sun, for the afternoon sun. But they have that out overlook over in the valley, which makes it kind of a neat little place to kind of hang out on. So, I mean, some people won't do it, but I don't think we necessarily want to encourage tons of that. But maybe if we had one. Maybe we just push one with dirt only, and if it's good weather, they can pull in, and if it's muddy weather, then we don't use it, and then we see if it's even used. I don't know that we should spend a whole lot of time and energy and, you know, maybe try one or two here or there.
That's a good idea.
And just cheat and see if people want to really do it or if that's just an idea or thought that they had on that day.
I think it'd be a great thing, like, in the future to build a whole slab area or maybe with or without slab, concrete, gravel, and sell
rent
spaces
to members only.
But no. But okay, yeah. Okay, never mind the whole idea.
Okay.
I just thought it was.
What are we trying to encourage here? That's what.
It'd be a great area to do that. Just I guess that would run into
our
liability
retail. And
yeah,
all that.
Never mind.
Yep,
I've got two kids who got trailers and a sister-in-law that's got a trailer, and we do some dry camping. And I'm telling you, if you don't put a dump station in first, people will dump. When your pooper scooper gets full, you have to empty it. And if nobody's watching, it'll get emptied. We have to put a dump station in, or we should not encourage it. I've been doing this for 30 years.
Sorry, John.
Go ahead.
I think we ought to, in the next announcement for the annual meeting, send out a questionnaire and see who would be willing to contribute money on the installation of a septic tank or septic system for a dump station down here. But I bet you'd have members that would say, sure, I'll put in $200 or something, and we wouldn't have to fund it, and we would have a dump station that's accessible either down here at your ranch headquarters or somewhere that works. I don't know the location. But it would be helpful, I think, to have it and the dump station and access to water. And so, but members will probably, I mean, if I were doing it a lot, then I'd be willing to chip in a couple $100. They're not that expensive to install.
It seemed like at one time I thought we did that many years
ago. Well, we talked about it. It was talked about probably every year.
Yeah.
The reason why it came up was it was Mark, who attended our meeting last month.
Yes. Mark Raleigh.
He said, I want to come out and use the ranch before I can get to my lot. I want to just come out and be on the ranch, but I can't drag my RV up to my lot, so where can I park it and camp?
Yeah.
So, you know, if he's probably not the only one that would like to do that.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to have a temporary kind of thing, whether it's along the airstrip road or in those pinions by the water tank.
But the bottom line is the dump station.
The dump station.
I kind of agree with that.
Bill?
Yeah.
If they're coming out for a week, they contain. You can go out and
yes, they can, but will they?
Yeah.
Well, they can contain very easily, but they, I could say for 30, I've seen people getting 5-gallon buckets, putting it in their vehicle and driving off. Where do they go? Well, they're not going 40 miles to town, I guarantee it.
Okay, John?
People will dump.
Yeah, well, that was brought up at the last meeting by Mark. And, of course, I may mention that I've been looking at some places here that I thought would be good because of the overlook. I understand what Jeff says about being in the sun, but there's several areas right here along the airstrip that look out towards there and have a good view that we could put in a quick and easy one. And yes, you would definitely have to have a dump station, but we're going to have to put in something for that laundry here in the way of a dump station. And so we could put in one there and make a dump in that. I used to go to Pink Coral Sand Dunes, you guys all know where that is over there, and all those places there, they never had a dump station at each spot. They had a place that you could drive to, and many national parks and many state parks have that situation, so they could drive to it. But we wouldn't have to provide them any water there. If they got to have water, they'd have to come over here to get it.
And if it was here at the ranch headquarters, it could be controlled, and there could be a food park for every dump.
Yeah, they could get water and dump there.
They need to sign in, just like they need to sign in, because that's not their property. It's no different than signing, having to sign in for a cabin.
Okay, so we should figure out the cost for the size of septic tank we'd want, the cost to put it in, and then ask either for donations or find it in the budget to do it, right?
There's a lot on the wish list already. I don't know.
Didn't you want to include something on the verbiage that goes out to the annual meeting?
Unless we're wanting to do something
prior to that?
Sooner. But we could, even for the annual meeting, if we had this kind of information, we could say, people have inquired about a dump station. It would cost the ranch roughly $5,000 to do this. The other thing, you can't just put a septic, you got to have water to put a septic system to get their permit. So it's going to have to be right here.
Well, up there where you're talking about, I assume you can pipe, there's a pipeline that runs right up the hill where you pipe.
I don't think it's that far on that. It runs down the airstrip.
Yeah, I don't know exactly the location.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the airstrip.
Okay. Again, it kind of goes, all these are great ideas, but it goes back to how much real desire and use is there going to be for us to do that. So I think we need to decide, find out how many people really want to do it. The only one that I know of only wants to do it, he's done already. Because he can get to his place now. It's just early. If you wanted to come early in the year when his place is still snowed in, if Joe wanted to pull his trailer over here, come over to because he can't get up to his place, he'd be parking in there and, pulling in there on his lot or pulling in on that lot that we made so he could come to the ranch if he wanted to before the snow came. But I don't know that.
Okay, so the general feeling, is, unless I'm wrong, is that we don't feel a panic to do anything particular right now. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Can we, other than maybe to put it in the annual
in the newsletter and see if people want to donate money.
Newsletter or annual meeting.
But we need to go to the county to find out what size tank it's got to be for a dump, because these people are going to dump 30 or 40 gallons at a time, minimum.
If they're bringing their RVs to the ranch right now anyway, they're in exactly the same situation.
Hey, John.
They're already here with their RVs, so if they're not dumping now, or if they are dumping now, it's the same difference.
Well, it might be they're dumping on their own property now versus ours, our association property. If they're bringing a cabin or a trailer up to their property, their own property, and they're dumping on their own lot, well,
yeah,
what do you do about that? But if they're going to dump on association, we just don't want that.
But
I'd like to spend no more than another 5 minutes on this.
Well, I think we just need to send out an inquiry to find out how much interest there is before we jump through any more hoops. And,
okay.
And we can do that in the newsletter or what the announcement goes out to the annual meeting.
Interest plus possible donors.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Justin?
I feel good. I have one short comment. I notice that sometimes at these cabs up there, they'll have part of family that pulls up in a cab trailer park at the cabin.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a better place for the park. I don't know how the board or how anybody feels about people pulling up in front of cab trailers.
I was doing it 20 years ago. I think it's been coming.
Yeah, I don't have an issue personally, but anyway, that's it. I'm over to just go with what you guys said. Yeah.
All right, the next newsletter or the annual meeting newsletter, we'll put in an inquiry. Okay,
Chris. The fish are here. Seems like it was around 350 pounds of fish. It cost $1,750. And Alex, do you have their name, phone number? So I want to turn that over to you. If next year you just take care of that and make sure that they come out and then they meet you here, so somebody's here at a time so you know when they come. I think it's a good idea for somebody to be here.
What was the delivery charge on it?
It's a couple hundred bucks. It's built into that
$1,700 total, isn't it?
Yeah, it's built in.
Because
in the past, I shared a portion, like the proportion of the fish, and so I had 50 pounds of fish put into my pond, and it charged me $80 for a delivery fee, and I was wondering if that should have been part of, well, it's got to go from our ponds a little further, but I was hoping it was helping the ranch and not an add-on, another 80 besides the 200.
I see. So we should negotiate that with him when we order fish.
Yeah.
So just, if you want to pay part of that, then we're happy to have you join us, and we'll just include that in our
newsletter. We'd like to pay it all if you want to.
$550 compared to the $250 would be like one-sixth of whatever the delivery charge could be. Or maybe a little more because he's got to go for the
wild over. You know, I think we're good enough customers and that they want to keep us.
Yeah.
That if we tell them that we don't want to have two fees charged, we might want to ask, what is our fee to get the fish here? And then we have one more pond. And
he just calls me, I think. He just called me this year. In the past, I had to remind the caretakers to...
We called you because I called him and scheduled fish here, and so he wanted to sell you fish, too, and make more money.
Yeah.
And he did, and a fee, too, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So that's why he called you, because we already... I called him and scheduled him
here. So I'd just like to coordinate the fee.
Yeah, and I think we have plenty of buying power associated with that we could have.
So I usually order about 50 pounds of fish. So
where's it? The fish looked really good, and a lot of people showed up that were camping out here and out to their lots and stuff, and it was kind of a fun little thing. We might even post that in a newsletter or something if people wanted to see the fish come. Whatever.
Just a little step that you lose a lot of fish. So you let them start catching fish the minute they're planted. In the past, we did it when nobody knew, and that way the fish had a chance to...
So you're sneaking them to...
A little bit, just a little bit.
Get wild?
Otherwise, some family might pull 20 of them out just like that. Yeah.
Okay.
You'll preserve the fish a little bit more.
I came up 2 weeks after they'd been planted to catch cotton release.
Good.
I mean, they're big, they were nice.
I was surprised to see him that big in the picture.
Yeah. You should see some of mine that have been in there 3-4 years.
Oh, yeah. Dinner.
Okay, moving on. Unless there's any other comments on fish?
Nope.
Bees? I haven't been contacted back. We had one of them for sure wanted to come out, but I thought he was going to be a little later than spring. The Brinkerhoffs, I never did get a number. Do we have a number on Brinkerhoffs?
I'll look again. I'm sorry. That's probably my fault. I don't have one right now.
We're happy to have him, and I guess we want bees here on the ranch.
Did the other guy deliver his? Because I see tracks going in there.
No, that's me checking on that late spring. Yeah, we got the water running into the trough instead of just running out on the ground.
So there are no bees on the ranch right now?
Not that I'm aware of. Nobody signed a bee contract, and speaking of contracts, we were going to dumb that
contract down a little bit and make it a little bit more simple? Did we finally get a final draft on that? I have a copy of the
I thought we did, but
very good. Yeah,
it's quite possible that I didn't. Did you?
That you got the toned down version, probably.
I thought it shortened it down. See, well, I can't remember. So
I thought you did. I thought I saw a toned down copy.
Oh, I'll give Barry the one I have, and let's see if it seems a lot. There's a lot of stuff. If we can dumb one down a little bit, it would be a lot easier probably for us to get a contract signed as well. Mariah, if you'll give me that phone number, I'll make a telephone call with the Brinkerhoff, and then anything else on bees? Update on wild turkey. Looks like we made $700 for income for absolutely nothing. For the state selling somebody a turkey tag and allowing them to come out to try to take one of our turkeys. The ones that I knew of weren't successful in their attempts to take a turkey, but I think that's something that the timing of the turkey hunt is early, and so it's when people really aren't on the ranch anyway. Mm-hmm. The cabins are empty anyway, so if people will come in and rent our cabin or members can use their cabin time, we make $50 plus. Right now we're making pay-per-pay fees on top of that, so I'm thinking that's just a good thing all the way around. And you don't even know that they're there. And I'm all about somebody hunting with a shotgun on the ranch, preferably to somebody with a high-powered rifle, where who knows where the slug ends up. So it's pretty safe.
So we got paid by virtue of, did we have to notify the fishing game that we...
No, not fishing game. Fishing game, there's two hunts. There's a draw hunt, and then there's just an open hunt. We had guys come in on both. Some of them drew, and then they made arrangements to come, and then we charged them $100 trespass fee. So we made $700 for trespass fee.
How did they find out they could come and did they contact you, or the...
Through Larry Clarkson and okay. The previous hunters that have come through.
Okay.
So
we've just accommodated odd numbers of whoever just showed up to do that. I mean, or they called and got permission, but...
No,
we're not out commercially saying,
no.
Come and do turkey hunt.
They contacted Larry, and Larry made the reservation for the cabin, arranged it all, paid the fees. They showed up, went out, and did the hunt.
Gotcha. In my estimation, it's just a win-win for the ranch.
Yeah, that time when there's nobody here.
And that $700 isn't fully reflective. That's just for the turkey fee. So that doesn't include the cabin reservation and the pay for the come in because of that. Although there was only... two, I think, that used cabins this time. And we did have one
pond
essentially taken.
Okay. Update on our grant application. It doesn't look like they're going to fund us.
Oh.
I made a... recently, the first call, they said it was still... they'd used up their allotted amount of funds, but they were hoping for other funds that come back in. But it looks like there's kind of a freeze on that now. So they haven't sent us a rejection of our funding yet, but they think that we have very small odds of being able to receive any funding, which is going to supplement what we wanted to do as far as the plan.
This year.
Right. We was hoping to get that money and then add that to ours. How that works is that we have to go through our contractor, and he has to be willing to jump through all the hoops. The property all has to be registered within their system for them to know exactly what's going to come down. I'm going to pass this little map of our ranch around, and you'll notice that it cuts off at the top of Broad Hollow. So even our whole ranch wasn't correctly logged in with them, and so now I've updated that since then, clear to the top of the meadow now, and so we're available for funding to all of those projects, or any project that we want to do if we want to apply for it. I'm going to pass this around, and if you'll look at this is our proposed plan. Somebody mentioned that we didn't really have a plan, and we haven't voted on it, and that's, I guess, because we haven't voted on anything. But so I don't know if we need to make a motion to begin funding or begin using our funds or allowing me to use the funds agriculturally to do the things that are most important and the things that we can afford within our budget as we work forward to this point. But overall, this is what I hope to have happen.
You have a certain amount of funds for agriculture, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You have the discretion to use those funds.
All of them or half of them?
I think he has discretion in your different areas to use them. I mean,
maybe we can clarify that right now then.
Yeah, we've got a few discussions.
When a question came up, the last thing that I heard was that a board member has the right to use 50% of his budget without having to get...
I think now that you say that, that's...
Without having to get approval from all the board to make a decision. So as long as it's under 50% of the budget, then you can go ahead and move forward with...
And in the discussion of how much budget to give that area, that's when we will want to give guidelines or have input and give guidelines. That's correct.
So this is the plan. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to visit with you.
I developed about 4 acres of pasture up on the mountainside.
You have? What do you want up there? I seen a mountain goat. Sheep? Mountain sheep?
I have.
Cut through the meadow. I kid you not, this week. He was a little lost, like looking around, like, where's the rest of the time? But he came right through the meadow.
I have elk and deer and a water pond up there and everything. Well, I need to come see it.
Well, when we talk about spending that part of the budget, too, like you...
might only be 3 acres, but I don't know.
You still have to keep it... Like, okay, so we have $3,000 allotted for crop management and erosion control. We have $4,000 budgeted for fencing. We already did the fish, so we're good with that. Petting zoo, you know. So I guess when you start looking at... I'm not a cow person or a pasture. I don't understand those things, okay, Brad? So when you start looking at your plan and what you want to do, make sure that we save enough for those things, too, that need to be done.
That's kind of how we come up with his budget. But I think he isn't required to spend absolutely that particular dollar amount in that particular item.
Exactly. I have 10,000.
Right.
Generally, that's kind of what we're hoping to put things in. But like, honestly, there's been nothing done. We're kind of in a rundown state as far as trying to control our range or trying to improve our range. And the more I find out about Rapid Brush, even what we have done kind of is wrong. I mean, we've been mowing it, and it
plants it.
Rapid Brush grows really high, you know, several feet high. And so by mowing it, at least the grasses have a chance to compete. But by just mowing it without applying any kind of herbicide to kill it, it actually strengthens the plant. The more it's like harvesting the grass, it's like grazing the pastures. We improve our range by actually grazing it instead of just leaving it be. So it's kind of a catch-22 if we don't actually get involved in trying to eradicate it through some herbicide. And it has to be done within 15 minutes of cutting it. You can't just go and brush hog a whole thing and then go through another month and kill it. Otherwise, you need to brush hog it, and it needs to be done in the fall. And so there's some things that we can do, and we will be able to start small and work up. But we're going to send Alan to get a license to handle the chemical that we use. It's going to cost us $20 for him to go, and it's an open book test that he takes to be licensed to, so he can handle, purchase the chemical that we use that we put on the Rapid Brush.
You're just spreading seeds, right, when you cut it down? Is that it?
Well, it seeds in the fall, so you'll see when it spreads its seed. It's a horrible sight.
Now, have we already contacted the county, too, to get him out here to spray for that thistle? Because I know it's starting to grow on my lot. I know, it's coming. So did we already do that, or what time of year do we do that?
We kind of get after him as it starts to come, and they actually have done a pretty good job
yeah,
controlling there's not a lot of the thistle that they have on their noxious weed list on the ranch, and so there's still some.
No, we have that. I don't know what that's called, but that one that blooms purple, that's the really bad one. It was really a lot last year.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that ourselves.
He did it for us 2 years ago.
The purple one, the only one that makes the list of, is the Scotch thistle. The bull thistle doesn't make the list.
It's the purple bull.
I think that's the one. I know that the purple one is the one he won't come out for and spray. We can't get him out to get the purple thistle killed. The flower's purple.
I just spray mine all the time.
I just cut them out, but...
Cal's really...
Of course, 2 years ago, didn't he?
Off of that purple.
They changed his list or something?
What?
He just was being nice, as I remember.
He did it like 2 years ago, and I saw it all over the ranch, and it's like, he did good. But did they change the list, and did they change that yearly, maybe, for what?
He was spraying the other stuff, and then he just kind of his kindness did the purple.
Yeah, it was nice for him to do.
Well, I don't know if we need to make a motion, but I move that Brad be turned loose to use his budget in the improvements set forth on his project list here, or plan, as long as he stays within his budget tonight, just soon we get started on some of that stuff.
If that's a motion, I'll second it. Not that we need to have a motion on this, but just to make it a little more than all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Aye.
Okay.
I disagree.
You want a discussion on the motion?
Fencing is something that hasn't been done, and another thing that hasn't been done, and we've talked about that in board meeting before. But if we don't bring a couple of fences up to be able to hold cows, once again we'll be in breach of our contract for this year.
Didn't we turn some fencing loose on?
Yeah, we have some material and
did we get a bid or somebody to do it?
I'm trying to save money. If it comes down to having to have somebody come out and fence it, then that's what we're going to have to do. But right now, we're trying to do the work between Alan and me and volunteers and save money on our budget, not spend our budget money just to have somebody come out and fence. But if it comes down to we're not going to be able to get it done, then we're going to have to.
A fun thing might be, you might get one or two. It's like the 4th of July or too late for this upcoming week. And have a little notice down here or just email or whatever and say, hey, we're having a fencing party or a fencing. We're doing a fencing project. The members with volunteer stuff.
I hope they don't shut with swords.
Brad, how much help is somebody that's never put up a fence like that?
How much work?
How much training does a person need?
I'm good at delegating. Come on out.
Yeah.
I'll take whatever hands I can get. You can carry wire. You can string wire. You can dig post holes. Pound post holes.
My fingers are too sore to work.
Yeah.
Okay, let's keep moving. Yeah.
Okay. The contractor. They like you to have a 5-year contract in order to go and approach them.
Who?
Who are you talking about?
NRCF, in order to be able to get additional funding. I would like to put us back into the pool again, and they'll also send me a plan. And there's a current freeze on hiring, I guess, in the government. And so we lost our original guy who came out, and we did the tour of the ranch, and we developed this plan. We lost him, and so we got a temporary guy, and he came out and finished it, and through telephone calls he submitted it. I think that hurt us not having our own guy to fight for our ranking in there. Their boss is who I've been talking to recently, and I think that she's going to have to take over the our next funding plan that we submit. And she wants to come out personally and tour the ranch again, and we'll go through the project that we have to do in order to qualify for funding. But if you happen to notice the amount of acres and the amount of money that they pay on per acre, It's substantial. If we can get funded, boy, our budget will stretch like, and it's crazy for us not to continue to search this out. So there's a couple of things that are coming into play with continuing forward. Is number one, we have to have our contractor willing to continue forward with us to do it. And if we do the things that we're trying to get done, then it's, you know, I know what he's dissatisfied with, and I know what he's happy with. The having cows be able to get through fences into different areas is not a good thing for him. If he can't keep control the bulls that breed certain cows, all the cattle are registered, and if he can't control which bull is breeding which cow during which time, then it's pretty hard to register it. Have a purebred herd. And if you'll notice the black calves that are out in there, they're all pretty much mistakes. It's because other cattle are encroaching upon us.
There's a lot of them out there.
Is that from the bull that was up here all last summer?
Some of that.
Part of it.
Some bulls come in from the south too, and it all goes down to fencing. And so he feels like he's paid $8,000 in fencing that hasn't been done, and now every year he's taking a beating. We get our same $12,000 regardless whether he makes money on his cows or whether he loses money. But he lost a lot of money with black calf last year with the price going down. And he's not tremendously happy.
I'm going to excuse myself just for a minute. I'm going to pass to my vice president. Terry.
I think that we ought to get him with Barry and renegotiate a contract that includes the forgiveness of all the debt that he's owed us in the past and that allows him to come out and stay. He had one request, and that's that he wants to be able to come and stay in a cabin if one's available. He doesn't want to pay for place.
Who's he?
Doug Hunt.
Oh, thank you. We didn't know who you were talking about here. Okay, go back. Say this again. What?
Cattle contractor. So if he comes out to check his cows or deal or work with his cows, he wants to be able to stay in a cabin if one is available. And so that would be run through the
ranch. Dale.
Ranch managers. If they're unavailable, then please. They're 80 years old, and I'd like to make this thing happen personally and have that get off the ranch and go away and have them just come out and stay in a cabin. Most of the time they're here, there's always something available that they could stay in. It would be very minimal cost, and if that would be what it cost us to have a renegotiated contract and the forgiveness of that, of the, our debt, then to me that's a lot of.
So I'm losing track here on what you're saying. You want to renegotiate the contract with Doug. Our contract's up in what, 2017?
21. Okay. After this year, he'll have 4 years left.
Okay, and you want to, he wants to renegotiate that now?
This is what he wants. He would like to keep running his cows out here. Although, to be honest with you, he turned 80 this year, and it's harder and harder for him to do stuff. And he's talking about, I don't know how serious, but he's mentioned before about, you know, when he's going to be done and selling out. I think the benefit of having the cows here, and not only the cows, or having cows, having longhorns here, almost without exception, ranch owners love to come out. They love to show people the longhorns. People stopped here yesterday taking pictures. I would hate to trade longhorns for anything else, but anything we can do to encourage him to stay here and keep longhorns on the ranch, I would like to see have happen.
And what else? Keep going with your list.
I think he'll forgive us our debt if we'll simply allow him to come and stay in a cabin when he comes out here.
Our debt being?
DSROA to him, or?
Our contract states that he pay additional $2,000 a year. It raises $2,000 a year, but also that we will pay
that we will fix those fences, and if we don't, we will reimburse him $2,000 a year for beginning in 2012. We had until 2012 to build those fences, and they were never done. It's just fixed fences, really. There's three fences that need to be fixed in the contract.
So, in other words, for the next 4 years to go back to 10 instead of 12, is that what he's wanting?
That's what I want. I would like to see him re-up his contract, let him come out here, stay. Then we will be encouraging him to keep his cows here and making money on him for another 10 years. But we have 4 years to use the funding money that he would be getting for us. So if he was to jump through all the hoops, fund his project, pay for three-quarters of the things that get done here, and then at the end of the contract, if he didn't get a new contract, let's say they kicked him out and put somebody else in, then he would have done all that at the end of the 4 years, and he'd have.
He'd be gone. I understand that. So, okay.
You've got to understand that also that happened to him. We did that to him once before. Deer Springs Ranch. He leased the meadow.
Oh, this is way, way, way back when? Okay, well, let's stay with Jay because I gotta help. I gotta sort this out. All right. So in 2000, I'm trying to remember what year.
So we've been as delinquent since 2012.
Yeah, till the end of 2012.
So
why haven't we been built then?
Okay. Here's my question though. During that time, Ben was on the board. He was in charge of agriculture, and he thought we did it all. And we had the discussion. This was probably 2014, maybe. That we had completed that part of our contract. And then after that time period, we're supposed to split 50-50 with fence repair with Doug and with the ranch. So if we did
the language in the contract is that he's responsible to maintain the fences.
After it's all done. Right.
Once the fence gets up.
So we were, as the board, we had been thinking until you came on board, or not came on board, but probably years ago when you said it never got done. So what I would like to ask is, okay, the part that was supposed to be done that Ben said was done, we need to pay for that part to get it up to where it was supposed to be at that time, if it is not. And I think you even mentioned you had a map of these places that hadn't been done. So that's our responsibility to get that done. But then at that point on, it's 50% from both of us to maintain. So if we can figure out where the first part is that we need to get done up to that, our contract point, and then move on with what we need to do now and what Doug needs to do now to keep those fences managed.
So there was a point in time where Ben said that we had done this?
Yes, and I asked him multiple times, and we had one-on-ones, and he said it was done. But
and was it done, and did it deteriorate?
No.
No, because I think I went out and looked at it and said it had never been done. I'm like,
and I'm not 100-year-old fences that run all the way along through there. There's no new wire. There's no new posts. And nothing done to the one part we did do is we did the meadow. And so we put it in the wrong place, but we did the meadow.
John, you had something to say?
Yeah. The far end of the ranch up near the Pond of Roses, those have been cut in 50 years. Those fences are down. You can walk, you can drive a horse through it. You know, They're just not up. And
where are you talking about? By the Ponderosas?
Between us and the four. By the Ponderosas at the end of the ranch.
Of course, the BLM gate.
Run it from the BLM gate all the way over to the all the way over to the other gate on pipeline. That fence there is it's a joke. I mean, it wouldn't hold anything, and the cows get up in there.
Oh, is that a cow? Is that supposed to be a cattle fence?
Yeah, it's supposed to be for cattle, and they get up in there, and we're liable for a fine when they get into the national forest. And I see them up there every year.
Oh, yeah, there's no stopping them.
And on pipeline, they get down there, down towards my place. They get up in there too, and that's national forest. And but we are liable for a fine if they get in there. But the debt forgiveness, I think you understand it. Now, the debt forgiveness is we haven't done it, so we really owe for not doing that, for not fixing that. But that has that thing has not been touched. They can go through that like they just step over.
But, yeah, and I don't know what the realms of that initial walkthrough. I know someone did it with Ben, and they went out, and maybe it was Paul at that time. They went out, and they checked it all, so we had a definite map of this needs to be done, this needs to be done, this needs to be done, and then that part, the agreement is fulfilled. And we were really worried about getting that done by the date, so that's the last I knew of it, until you said it hadn't been done.
I think the bottom line is kind of going through a reset as to where we are. There's stuff that I don't know, I haven't seen it, but it sounds like there's stuff that wasn't done. And if it wasn't done, which it seems like it wasn't, then we owe, you know, we've been overcharging. What it sounds like is that Doug's willing, if we want to reset and say, okay, let's renegotiate. First of all, a longer contract will allow these guys better access to these funds that are available, because unless you have a 5-year contract, then they don't look at you.
Okay.
And so we're a 4-year contract, so that hurts us. And so a new 5-plus-year contract, and recognize where things are actually at and negotiate what's reasonable. And I guess sounds like Brad's asking that we include in that, in exchange for the forgiveness of debt or whatever, access to the cabins that are empty, which I don't have a problem with. If they're empty, then they're empty. To have them up here from time to time doesn't hurt my feelings at all, and I think it would help them to better monitor the situation up here. So I see it kind of as a win-win situation. They're willing to stay longer and keep the cattle here. It helps the ranch to look good, and we're not using any resources that wouldn't be sitting empty anyway. Am I missing something?
No, plus, in my mind, where I get wrapped is that it puts to bed all the other stuff. And
we don't have to go back and try to figure out what happened.
And we don't have to worry about, you know. And quite honestly, if they don't want to do it, fine. Just pay me the $8,000, I'll rent the cabin. But no, we're good, Dad. You don't know. We're good.
Well, if we renegotiate now, we shouldn't go anything less than 10, should we? And that would give him peace of mind. And well,
I think this will be his last contract if we renew it. And
is 10 too long for him, you think?
I think he thinks he could do it till he's 90. So if he thinks he can, then. I'd like to keep the cows here. I think they're a bonus. I think they make our ranch more attractive. They bring sense of westernness there here that we...
My only question is, what's he gonna want out of as far as fences moving forward? Calling it even where it's at, there's obviously a problem with fences getting in, mostly from the south.
Yeah.
So we need an action list. We need to... ABC 2. So the intent is probably, I feel the intent of the board willing to work this out. Who's going to decide? Is it a joint thing? Who's going to say, okay, we got a 600 feet of fence here that has to be done?
Your roadmap.
I mean, we need it all. We ain't all written down.
This is how you tell us. Is if you put cows on this side and they don't get to this side, then your fence is good. If you put cows in here and they don't get to there, then your fence is good. So,
okay, the language in the fence. You know where fences are good or not right now, right?
I don't. Actually, there's a place over here where they're coming through that's a mystery to me, and I'd like to get Alan and I'd like to go over and look at that and see what that's going to take to know exactly what we need to do. But we have to do that no matter what. That's my number one priority, is to bring that in, and so that problem goes away. That we put cows over at Deer Springs Point, they go over at Deer Springs Point. They don't end up over at Jody's house. Right now, it's all the same.
Well, all the gates going from here all the way up to the Iron Gate are open.
Look, the bulls aren't here yet. If you'll notice, the cows rotate themselves. They're really weird, great grass, everything, and then they just pick up and they leave, and then they're gone someplace else, which... That's the benefit to us, because the cows aren't staying in one place, just pounding it down. I tinted them out here by the road so I could try to keep track of brand new calves out here. And so they keep rotating back to come back to this salt up here by the road. But the cows right now, just because they're longhorns, they like to move around. And so right now, they've been up in the meadow. The next day, the 20 cows that are in the meadow are down here on the Salt Lake. That's 6 miles in one day.
They're not up there on our end at all.
So how many cattle are out here?
I think there's probably, our contract is between 50 and 200. I think there's probably around 100 head on the ranch.
I think Alan had something to say.
Thank you. I'm willing to do this. You've already paid a previous employee money to do something that should have been done that wasn't done. I'm making a recommendation. Let's get this taken care of, this fence, before it gets way too hot. I'm willing to go out and help Brad right now get this done. We still have 4 cabins to get ready. Hire somebody to help my wife and get those cabins up, and we can get a backside out there and get those fences fixed so you don't have that trouble anymore with those bulls.
I was going to ask about that. About
we,
the camp
we have some funds available to hire people to help with cabins. It's built into our budget, so you do have some funds.
Free me up because that takes a lot of time. I don't know how many of you have ever done that.
Just so you know, there is some. I'll show you. Maybe you haven't even seen this budget yet, but there's some things there that will even help you more. But first, I need to go out and see where that mystery.
Well, but that's I would like to go out there with you and get that. Alleviate that problem. I mean,
we're taking a lot of time on here, so
yeah,
kind of sum up if we could.
That's my frustration. We hear you. Now, what I always want is, okay, what are we going to do? And that's where I need an outline. We're going to do this.
This is what I propose.
That. We're going to do this, and this, and this.
I propose that we get Doug Hunt in contact with Barry first. To renegotiate a contract, and that we continue to move forward on our contract that we're
can
under.
Can we renegotiate without knowing all the areas of concern?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's part of the renegotiation is we're gonna call it good where we're at.
Okay.
And deal with what we're gonna do moving forward.
Okay. The truth is, he really doesn't want anything. He just wants to be able to come out here and see his cows, and he wants us to fix the fences that we said we fix, and he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to.
You want to make a motion that we do that?
I'll make a motion.
Barry makes a motion that we...
I meet with Doug and get the specifics as to what he's open to renegotiate and what his terms are and bring that back to the board for review, discussion, and approval.
I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, next thing then, what else?
In the meantime.
Huh?
And can he come out? There's cabins available. We make that available to him in the meantime. That we get renegotiated.
If they're empty, I don't have a problem.
No problem.
Yeah, I say yes.
He just needs to go through Mariah to schedule cabins prior to just showing up and saying, I want to stay in the cabin.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be just calling to show up, and then they're going to say, we have 7 cabins that nobody's scheduled in, and then they can determine how they're going
to
do it.
Well, we need to let you know in
advance.
Yeah, he's not going to say,
so, I take it Brad's making a motion that we do that. Who wants to
second? I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. It just has to be done this way. Okay, now what?
I'm looking
at
the really
wild
quick.
Party.
We got some serious problem with erosion.
We're still on the cattle.
I thought we were done.
We don't need to talk about anything else on. What about his thing to help you right now and do fence repair and hire somebody else to work on the cabins? Well, Brad's got to go out and find out what the problem is.
I hate From the day I got put over agriculture, my main goal was to fix that problem. We have a lot of the material here. I think we might have we might have enough fence already sitting right in the barn bought material-wise. So all we're talking about is finding out where we have to fix that fence. So that the cows then drift from Deer Springs Point onto Broad Hollow to Jody's house. Because right now that's what they're doing. It doesn't matter where you put them. They can go anywhere they want. And they can't. And you got to stop them from getting from that cattle guard past Moon Reservoir over into airstrip pasture. Anything back this side of the airstrip, the cows...
And I think that they never, I think a fence actually was maybe put up there, but it's not high enough to stop cows from going from one point to the other. And so it's still, we got to stop the funnel. And when we do that, then we're done. We've done what we agreed. As far as the fences, we can, you can talk to Doug and see what he wants to do, but his feeling always has been is that Deer Springs will bring the fence up the code. If his cows run through the fence and tear a hole in it, he's 100% responsible for repairing the fence and maintaining that fence as a vision fence. Once he gets a fence that will actually hold his bull on one side of the pasture or the other side.
That question. A broad hollow there. You're talking about a fence there, that, but is there a cattle guard up there someplace to keep them from going in there?
Yeah, the cattle guard is right where the fence is.
Okay. Now, up on pipeline there, you and I looked at that one fence there, or I believe that's your best replace. That one was too short, wasn't it? I mean, not high enough. So we, and I brought some material up there and dropped it off. That should still be there, correct? That been used.
That hole was, we fixed that hole and they can't get through that one anymore. Anywhere erosion comes in and you bring in dirt, or the water brings in dirt, then you can build a 6 foot high fence, and the next year it can be a 4 foot high fence.
I understand.
Because of the erosion that comes in. And so you got to be a little bit more confident about where you're placing your fence line. And so, or either that or put in a 7 foot post. And so you, every year you put a new wire across the top.
Now, speaking of materials for fencing materials, I haven't been out here, but these posts are nowhere that Paul put in. Out here by the water system, they're still there, right?
Yeah. And so if we got funded, then I was going to hopefully use some money to benefit the ranch there, and now we're just going to have to go with that.
Well, are we going to remove those?
No.
No? Are we going to fence it? I thought we decided it didn't need to be fenced.
Yeah, I don't know who authorized that fence, and I don't know why we authorized that fence, but... where it was put. The fence, it's great to put a fence in there. This is a really good pasture that's been reseeded and maintained. And so this, except for the rabbit brush, if you go out and see the rabbit brush you're taking over that's scary in there, that's probably the best corral pasture that we have. But it's open from one end to the other. And we need to be able to rotate. And so we need to have divisional fences so you can put cows up this side and then let them into the other side, then let them to the So we're going to keep that fence because we're going to be able to rotate, but we might have to haul some water while they're in that pasture through the summer.
Okay, I'm going to bust in here and say I'm a little miffed because last year we talked about this very thing, and especially out in Podunk, and how we had to do this fence for sure, and we voted to get a bid, we voted to get it done, and we got the materials, and now that's where I need your help in remembering, because somewhere it broke down. Evidently didn't get done.
No.
And Paul was going to go out there and do that?
That's a whole different issue. That's a border issue for the neighbor scout coming in to...
But that was a that's one of these fences that you don't want the bulls coming in on.
Well, yeah, there are bulls coming in, but typically we don't have very many cows.
Why didn't we get that fence completed? Did anybody remember?
To head up to Poda.
I thought we got bids from a commercial fencer.
We did get it completed.
Leland was on the board responsible for that area.
Yeah, that's right.
Brad replaced him, so Leland stepped out of the picture.
Isn't that where that group came in, the volunteer group that came in to help fence that?
But you brought a group of people in for like a week. And
yeah.
Well, that's making sense to me now. That's where
it
we
never
happened. That's where we got lost.
Yeah. I think we're getting two issues concerned.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a different issue than this other fence. Right.
Yeah, that's just our general issue of 100-year-old fences on an old cattle ranch.
Okay.
We have that fence all the way around our whole property.
Okay, well.
Same issue.
I still need a game plan. All I hear is we're talking about this area, that area, and what about this, and what about that, blah, 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 blah.
Well, maybe I can clarify one thing. Isn't the issue the association of land itself has to be fenced to keep all the neighbor cows out? The cows that wander up from the south and from the west or east come in. That's one issue. That's the outside.
Another issue. Whole other issue.
And then inside, you have partitioning fences so they can move from pasture to pasture to pasture.
That's
the ones that you're saying are not fixed are the partitional pastures inside. Ones inside on our land between the pasture on the north and the pasture on the south are where we're having problems.
Okay. Those other fences need work too, but it's all right. Critical things
so,
that we need
so
to do right now.
For the minutes, I want to identify that. We're talking about partitioning fences.
Rotational.
For rotation of cattle per the requirements of the hunt lease.
Yes.
Okay. Now, for future talk, we have the external fencing of the ranch.
Of the association ground.
Association ground. Not a BLM ground, just our common ground or our lots.
The association-owned
property. Okay. The ultimate goal is to get that totally fenced. What was the third one? Is there a third one? Boundaries? That's boundaries.
The boundaries.
Okay. So there's only two things, and we're talking about the... Okay. So, then would it make sense here? We go from the negotiation to the structure, and my feeling is then we've grossly overlooked this need.
Yes.
Probably because we've not been fully comprehending or understanding our obligation, but that's no excuse. It's just the way it happened. But we are going to have to revamp our budget. This is something that's got to be done now. No? Yes.
You just give me some time to go to work, and we're on it. I think we just made the motions that we need to make.
Okay.
Forward on everything.
All right.
A lot of the cattle, the encroaching cattle on us, the problem is this wash. This wash will take the fence out every big storm. And so when that fence goes out, anybody can, cows.
And what if we had a truck? What if we had a 15-foot culvert? Would it take it out?
Maybe.
Yeah. We're talking about the wash that's 25, 30 feet wide, and every year when the spring water comes down, it makes it 35 feet.
It joins the end of our boundaries. Maybe you guys haven't been down there. I took Alan down, and I showed him where the cows come in. The major problem is the wash. But it's not that big a problem, but it's something that we're going to have to address on a continual basis. That's because what I want to do is try to put up a flood fence, a fence that can be torn out by the flood, and that we can go back and put up. Or that we could drop and roll up and set on the side during rainstorms and then come back out, roll it back down, and hook it back onto the post. And we do that. We run cows in the winter down in the slot canyon that floods every year. So this is something that we've dealt with. So it's...
What about notice to these bull owners that these bulls are coming up in here?
That's the same problem with PODOC, is that...
But shouldn't we at least be sending out a notice to, hey, your cows are encroaching. We're only liable. You need to come and get them if we see them.
There's no liability if the fence out stays. So we're responsible to keep our fence
out
well enough to keep their cattle out of our.
Can we make a polite request that they
don't want to keep them? Yeah, and they want their bulls breeding their own cows and not breeding
so
ours.
Can I
like longhorns better?
Can I turn Mariah onto that project, and can you help her get at names of people where these bulls are coming from? A polite notice that, hey, we're having a little trouble. We don't have good fences.
We've been talking to them.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're okay.
Okay.
If you have a question or you are concerned, I think we can handle this by moving forward now.
All right, then. I won't beat it anymore.
I do have another concern with the road.
Okay.
And it needs to be brought up. And at our break, Brent's going to fire control at the end of the meeting, between meeting and executive. Brent's going to show us all how to operate the fire. What do you call that?
Fire truck.
And so there's somebody else on the ranch besides Brent
who could actually put out a fire if one happened to happen. But you can walk out here with me 100 yards the other way, because this is one of the problems where erosion is really taking hold, and we have to do something different. So some funds are going to have to be go toward correcting that. Funds or something like that.
Okay. So
we also need to have Alan get some permits to cut some posts, some fence posts. So we can go out and cut our own posts, and we don't have to buy them. And you'll need a permit to cut firewood also. And Brent could probably hook us up. Do you know anything about the permit for post cutting, Brent? Do we get them in Kanab?
You get them. You just go into the BLM building down there, and you tell them you want to have the firewood permit, and it. The price on the, you get a minimum of 2 cords of firewood, and that costs $10, and I can't believe it's not expensive. I mean, it's just like,
that's something I think probably try out now. It's just a matter of walking in and saying, and tell them how many you want, and they sign it in to you.
So, I don't know how it works. Does somebody, the person that they sign that, do they have to have that with them to be out cutting the post? So if you come and say, hey, what are you doing? I'm cutting poles.
Well, I'm sure that she gets a permit and delivered to Alan. Doesn't have
I need some permits for my own personal use, so I don't mind taking on that test. And was I given a previous assignment that I missed? Or did we just go past that?
I guess we don't need to, okay. Because Brad says we've been talking to these people already. But Brad, you brought up the erosion thing, and then we didn't talk about what to do about.
I think we're going to need to put a pond here to slow the water down. Brent and I talked about that erosion over here, but we'll walk out and look up. But I think we're going to need to dig a pond to slow the water if it comes off the hill. We'll look.
Are you talking due south of us? Or
I'm talking 100 yards. 100 yards
away. It's
really
bad, Jeff. Just wander out there, hurting.
And over here that you can't see, just after you come through the cattle garden, you notice the first thing. It's twice as bad as what you see over here. This one is twice as bad. So we need to somehow, like the ponds that you see as you come in right into our ranch, they slowed that water down, and so it's not guaranteed, you know, taking Deer Springs Ranch out to Arizona.
Well, you want to make a proposal to us for the next meeting on pond construction then? I don't want to just talk about things. I want us to talk about them, decide something, and do it.
You gave me permission to use my budget, and so until my budget's gone, I'm going to start on the most critical things for the ranch and start getting it done. And so I actually have a plan in mind maybe to have an operator come out to donate his labor to dig us a pond and put some ponds in June. And so... As long as I can spend my budget, I don't think we need a proposal. But
okay,
if you want one, I'll propose.
No. Well,
I propose to spend my budget.
We gave you permission to spend your budget, but I just want to know if you're what the plan is.
If I run into trouble and I can see that there's a lot more, and I'm going to run past my budget, then I'm going to be coming to you and all of you and letting you know that we need to. Do something here.
Well, okay, wait. That's where the plan comes in.
That's where that is exactly our concern.
Yeah. So we need to know what
right
the
now
it is. Probably
right now it's going to cost us diesel fuel to do that.
But if you start moving dirt around, you're probably going to need some type of analysis of what that's going to do. If you start filling in a wash down here to create a pond, what's it going to do to the
you're welcome to spend your budget and get and now
well
no, it should be done regardless.
Same amount of water will still flow past, it will just be going slower and the dirt will fall out of it, so it won't impact the water flow itself.
A question on building ponds, because of the modification on the ranch house here, I found out that you need permits for a whole bunch of stuff. We start changing the amount of water that goes downstream. Do we need a permit from the state to build that pond? I don't want to get caught.
We're not changing the amount of water. We're just slowing the speed of the water.
We're not rerouting at all. It's just changing the speed.
It'd be the same thing as if you put a bunch of straw bales forming barriers in the bottom of the stream. It doesn't stop the water. It just slows it down so that the dirt stays here instead of going on down. The water ends up seeping back into the ground down here. Within a quarter mile, it's gone. There's no water left.
We've run into a tight spot with this, with that shed and the ranch house. And I printed out a 20-page permit there for water and soil samples, and I just don't want to get caught with our pockets open and laying out, and we commit a federal crime here.
And on the other hand,
yeah, we could be in prison with the Bundy.
They're in Nevada. Leave them alone.
All right. Doug, are you done then?
Brad, but yeah.
Brad, I mean.
Come on, quit changing your name.
Is it still the 20th?
It's still the 20th, and it's 12:20, and I hate long board meetings. So, Joe, what can you do to get through your parts next?
Okay, well, one, on A, let me get that other glass. Suggestions for members' request for decor. That someone sent me an email. They made a suggestion that we name all of our cabins with a specific name and then put the decor in accordingly. And I told them I'd bring it up at a board meeting. Are we interested in naming them 1 through 10 or one called Sally and one called Harry?
I vote nay, but that's
nay.
Nay.
Let's put a criticized.
I'll
say
that.
Nay.
I don't think
we want to go.
Nobody wants to. Well, we'll take care of that. Nay is gone.
They do it up at Ruby's Inn and some other places where they're making a bunch of money, but we don't have time for that.
Okay, let me skip the C real quick. Did they fix the propane leaks and six? They had some valves that were bad on the heaters. Have they been changed?
Six, but one I went and looked at. Two's two was fine.
Two was fine. You found the leak on two, and then six was fixed.
You found it.
You were with me. You were between me and the leak, so you found it.
I haven't heard from them. They were going to let me know up there if
Mariah has a comment too.
Okay, so we're on top of that then.
Sorry, Bill, can I say something on top of this?
Sure.
Pastor Amerigas called me and told me that he red flagged two of those heaters.
Right.
He took them off, and when he called me, I think it was Thursday, he said they either need to be replaced, or he says we can get some, or if you have some you want to replace them, then we can come back out and take those red flags off. That was the last one.
We got parts ordered for those? For six, for the valves, for the gas valves?
No. Are you talking about fixing those?
On six.
You want the
gas leaks on
you
six.
I thought you wanted to take those out.
Oh. You're just taking them out, Brent? What are we doing with those heaters?
Those heaters are, they're like death traps.
Yeah.
Okay?
Let's take them out then.
For us to even keep them, first of all, we can't get, the only thing we can get are, the only parts we can get are the valves. I mean, those things are obsolete. They're, you know, years obsolete. They're as obsolete as Joe. And so.
So do we want to tell Mariah to tell the gas guys to get
new ones?
New ones?
Well, what we can, you know, you guys have to decide. We can talk to AmeriGas about getting some kind of replacement heater for those rooms. But cabin six, now this is just Brent talking. Cabin six is one of the least rented cabins, is that correct?
I can't say, but I would say yes. So far, yes.
Okay. It's got a wood stove in it.
Oh, it does?
I mean, it's only cold enough to need to use any kind of propane heater in those bedrooms, you know, maybe two or three times a year when this thing is occupied. Is it worth going to the expense of putting a propane heater there?
Let's get a bid.
Let's take them out, period.
They need to be taken out. They're a death trap.
Let's find out how much a new one would cost. So I would like to have that in there.
Would a new one be a death trap, in your opinion, if we had a brand new one put in there?
No. I mean, we could put something in there that would
that would fix the problem.
You're saying the use is so small that we shouldn't do it.
I think the for the amount of time that cabin's open, for the number of guests we have staying in those cabins, for the number of times that they actually use those heaters.
Much of the guys are doing that week in your place.
I mean, if you just crunch them up.
Yeah.
So,
and they do have wood burning capability.
And there's a wood burning stove. What we can do is ask AmeriGas what it would cost us to do it, and then just look at the numbers.
Let's do that.
Okay, let's do that. Get that back from our next meeting.
He thought he had a couple he may have that are used, but he was paying somewhere around $100, I think. I'll find out more and report back.
Okay.
$100 for the replacement heater?
$100 for the heater.
Yeah.
Per heater.
If that's all it is, I think we can
just have them come out.
If it's within $100-$150, can't we improve that?
Let's go ahead and
get it done.
Okay.
If that's cheap, let's get them.
Yeah.
Let's take the old ones out so there's no more red tag.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. On D, the chimney, we got parts ordered, so nothing we can do there. Parts are coming for that. Cabin 4 on E, need to get a price on putting a steel roof on that because it's looking pretty bad. It may not last another year after this, so we'll get a price on a roof and make a decision and either put it on this year or early next. Who can we call? Are you going to call Turley for that?
We certainly can, or
or local.
Who's somebody else local?
Anybody else?
Dalt Roofing, Langford Roofing.
Our metal roofing
results. See if you can get us some bids on that.
You have to give us a bid on that before.
Okay. Do we have square footage and type of material?
Just the steel roof like on each side. That's all.
What about square footage?
They'll have to come look at it.
Okay.
Unless we can dig up some old plans for the window that's been built.
Okay, and then the last item I got is B, a laundry shed. All been taken care of. We're in good shape. Nothing needs to be done other than start using it. But here's the problem that we came up with. Somebody filed a complaint with the county for remodeling the ranch house, buying the shed.
Upper cabins
They said we were modifying upper cabins, all kinds of complaints, which none of them are true, except for remodeling the ranch house. I got a permit from the county. I have to go in on Monday or Tuesday and turn it in. We need to buy a permit. According to them, if the cabin, the shed there is less than 200 square feet, we don't need a permit, so we're okay. It's only 200 square feet. But the complaint also said we were putting in electric and water and sewer, which we are not. So I've informed them we're not. We'll have to put that on the permit. So we're okay there. I talked to Larry Meltzer on the phone 3 days ago, and he said as far as he was concerned, Brent, that was not a load-bearing wall. I will have to inform the county of that. We may not even need a permit now because they were told it was a load-bearing wall. Alan had sheetrocked in that one window. There was a complaint put on that saying we can't hang sheetrock without a permit. I told him it was only a 3-foot by 4-foot window. They said we don't need a permit for something that small, so I'm sure that'll be dropped. And then they said we were doing major modifications to the upper cabins, which we are not. So we may not have to get a permit, but I have to go in and clarify it and straighten it out with the county as of the next day or two. Larry Meltzer is going to be in town at the ranch sometime this weekend. He'll get with me and help fill the permit out if we need it, and I will turn it in. So that's where we're at with that. Other than that, Alan's got everything looking good, working good. Don't think we need to do any major. What I'd like to do with you, Alan, if we can, when you get time, if we're not doing fences or something else, is on cabin number 4. I think I'd like to pull that water heater, take it out, if we have to, put it on the ground, and go in there with concrete wallboard and close in that whole entire room so the mice can't use it as a freeway because there's no red lights in there to stop them. So if we either use
tongue and groove wood if we have to, or wallboard, which they can't chew through, and then we can put the water heater back in. And I think that would solve most of the problems of the mice running in through the walls at night, because that looked like a mess when you and I were up there the other day. And then later on, I want to put a skirt around that cabin, because I think they're going underneath and coming up. So we'll use that as a test run to do the other cabins at a later date. We'll just do them one at a time. Like I said, it's too much to do in 1 year. So.
You and Alan looked at cabin two?
Cabin two.
Threshold?
For the threshold. Did you get a chance to fix that threshold yet in two for the doorway?
No, we just, that whole door jam's going to have to come out.
Come out?
Yeah, because it's sitting on it. You know, a lot of times you can just take the threshold up, but this, the door jam's on top of it. So, I mean, I tried taking it out, but I'd have to cut the threshold out itself and put a whole new threshold in.
Wow.
But that should be a priority.
Yeah,
for the people coming in.
Let me get with Larry when he gets here, because he did all that work in there.
Bottom. I mean, it's cockeyed so much that you got the half-inch gap up here and a half-inch gap down here.
You showed it to me. I saw that. That's going to take too much time. Let me get with Larry and see what Larry Meltzer would charge us to do that. Take that off your docket list and make it easier for you.
Thank you.
Jody's saying we should get some hired help to help Rita do some of this stuff.
We were saying earlier, so this is a good time to address that.
We can do that, yeah.
That camp hosting that we did last year, is this a good time of year to do it again? Or is that a different kind of person?
The work away?
Yeah.
Or the...
Whatever they call it.
Work camper.
Generally, you have to advertise through the winter before the summer coming up.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there anybody in town?
But the problem with that is they come in at a trailer and they don't have a dump station still. So how do we do that?
True.
That's the
true.
Thing.
That's true.
Campers
that's true.
Were, they were willing to pull their own RV, but there's no place for
right.
No place
that's
for
true.
Them to dump. We can give them electricity and water, but we can't give them a pooper.
Is there anybody in town that can hire to help her?
I think we've let Mariah look around and see what you can find in town for some help, and we authorized you to do that and get
for
help sooner rather than later. Anybody object to that? Mariah's plugged in there. She knows who can do a quality job, and I just assume turn her loose and let her do it.
Everybody in favor of that?
It's Alan and Peter being responsible for their hours.
And what's the parameter? What can we to spend here?
They have a budget of $1,200 for summer help.
So within that budget, I think we're all okay for you to address that.
Is that what you said, $1,200?
Mm-hmm. I think that's what the budget says, and so I just look again to make sure. But Jody, is that right?
Yeah, but let's talk about that more and more when you start looking.
And I'd like to talk with Pierre and Tita, too, to find out what kind of things we need help with.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay, thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Let's see. John.
Yeah. I'm up. Yeah, I haven't driven around the ranch, yet. That's why I've been back up here to check on the road conditions, but what needs to be fixed. But I do know a couple of I've been able to hold them down until now. I open my mouth and I blow it away. I know there's three culverts that I need to address. I need to... One over in Podog for the water line repair that we agreed to pay $300 toward some of the fuel for the Podog people to make the repairs there. That road is going to have to be wide this direction a little bit, but I'm going to have to put a culvert in there. It'll be a pretty good size one. So I'm going to have to figure out there what I'm going to need. Brent is aware, too, of what I need to do there. We discussed it a little. So that's one. I got one up here. I don't know the people's name, but they're back over where Orlani's place is, the Alaska. I agreed, told them last year I'd try to get a culvert in there for the new road that's cut in. because it's just simply going to wash out.
That's lot 151?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And
what size culvert?
Well, I think on that one there, probably 24 to 30-inch culvert would be fine. And I was going to look at, I was looking at these concrete we have down here, and I don't know. I don't think I can use them. But there is a couple of old culverts out there that we might be able to use that are, they look beat up, but they are corrugated style culverts. And I was talking to Larry Clarkson yesterday. As some of you may or may not know, he's done some work up there going to your place, going up to your place there to redirect water headed to the culvert there that's been coming over the road. Now, I didn't authorize him to do that. He didn't discuss it with me. He was just doing it. And also up on the other end toward the Red Pond, he did dig that out deeper so that the water coming down from the National Forest could get over into the Red Pond. And that needed to be cleaned out and he could do that. But we were discussing a culvert there because the culvert we have, when we have a heavy storm up there, comes over the bush, even though we have that culvert there. It's a little small. It's only about 30 inches. Probably need a 4-footer in there and put it in a different place. And I'm going to discuss that with him a little bit to see. I'm going to use his knowledge on culvert work on that and make a decision. I haven't agreed to contract him to do anything, but I may have to because I do have some $9,000 in contract services there. That, I don't think that Alan's going to have time to do some of this right now.
We also talked about that culvert since it's county road. I can't tell you.
Well, this is on our side of the property. But it is coming from this. It's coming from the National Forest. And we would come up to if we cut it in there a little higher and bring it in. But I don't know the answer. I'll find out what we can do there, but those are areas I got to address right now on culverts, and I got.
So you have three or four areas? Where
three areas.
Three areas, okay.
Three areas right now, but I haven't had a chance to drive over. Excuse me. The rest of the ranch and see what needs to be done. I suspect the one in Podunk is going to be a little, it's going to need a lot of work. Do you agree on that, Brent?
What's that?
You probably didn't hear you.
Over in Podunk where that culvert needs to be put in where they rerouted the water.
You mean on the,
where the Podunk rerouted the water to go down to
right,
the bed.
Okay.
On this side, you know, we got the wash on that side.
Right.
But we need to widen this direction.
It needs to go west about 10 feet.
Yeah. So we're probably going to, that culvert in there, what do you think that is, about a 36 or?
I think it's 48.
48?
Marion put it in, so ask him.
You're 48.
But I think it's a 48.
That's a lot. We're going to have to acquire someplace a 48-inch piece of culvert. And if we got to come this way 10 feet, we're going to have to go 12, 14 feet on the culvert.
Yeah, we will, because we need to have a fee. And we're also going to need a collar.
Yeah, and that's going to be around a $800 to $900 culvert, probably more.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay,
but I have $4,500 for culvert.
Okay. Equipment lease?
equipment lease, I don't have my figures here on that. I'm going to, I'll have to look at that. And,
we have a member request for the cross.
That would be me.
Land driveway.
That would be me.
Jody.
Okay.
So I brought this up at another meeting and apparently had the wrong thing. And so anyway, I went back to, well, when we bought our lot in 2003, John Davis was our realtor, and he came to a board meeting in October of 2003, and they were doing the Broad Hollow Road project then, and so he asked them at that time if it was okay to allow us to put our driveway that crosses over about 200 feet across association land into for our bottom part of our property, and the board said yes, okay, and then asked John if he got it in writing. He says, no, we don't need that in writing. So now I'm going to submit it in writing that it was already approved, and Phil was president of the board then, so I'm just going to have him.
So I had her just annotate the board minutes, the meeting month, and so I am just going to sign this.
So if anybody wants to see the letter, just not for easement, just to allow access, egress and ingress on that lot for lot 128.
Is there any other access besides that?
Top on the hill. It's just not big enough to build.
What's the date
there.
Today?
20th.
So I didn't see any.
One more.
Any need to revote on the matter, but I thought I was going to just sign this, something we already agreed on at board minute, that I had to do it in front of everybody and see if there was any objections to that. Any objections? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, is that it, John?
Yeah, I don't have anything more.
Thank you.
Tandy's got a question.
Oh, question, Tandy?
Last year, Vance Green offered a culvert if the ranch would Rush
Hall
the area.
That's right, he did.
I wanted to know, has that been done, or has that been set up?
Has not been done.
Well, since he donated the culvert, and that was last year, I think that should be a priority for the ranch to complete what he wanted.
Yeah, he wanted that last year, and the tractor and the equipment needed to work in order to run it, and that never happened.
Oh yeah, we were broken down for a while.
Yeah, on brush hog. From the brush hog.
It's looking out though, isn't it?
So it's
well, it as of last year when I left, it wasn't fixed.
So he'll identify.
No, I don't.
Who would be doing the brush hogging then?
Well, Paul did the brush hogging then. I assume that Alan would be doing that now, unless somebody wants to volunteer to do it.
So probably if Vance comes to you, Paul, or gives you notice a week or two when he's going to be up here, Alan.
Don't ever make
it. Yeah, don't sit in this. I don't like sitting in this hot sun. It does something to my brain here. Hey, Alan, sorry about that. then you'll know what he's talking about if he tries to make arrangements or something, okay? All right.
Are you still out there, Vance?
You there, Vance?
Yeah, I am. And I'm in no hurry. My offer for the culvert still stands. One other person who could probably run the Kubota with the mower would be Larry Meltzer. So I might, if I see him, I'm going to be up there next weekend for 4 days, and I might ask him if he'd be willing to do that for us, which would take the load off of Alan.
Okay. Sounds great. Okay, Jeff, you have an area here.
For the sake of time, I don't have anything.
Okay. Jeff passes. We need to have a little
what do you call it?
Executive session. But I would like to say, for the sake of all of everybody else here, let's do the fire truck thing with Brent now, and then we'll have our executive session. Let's decide when we're going to meet next month. Second Saturday in June would be the normal time. We would be meeting here. Is that Father's Day weekend? Is it? No. Okay.
I think it
is.
We have a family wedding that weekend. But I think it's Father's Day.
What about the third weekend in Saturday in June? Let's talk about this too. Do we need to have a meeting? Do we have a compulsory?
Father's Day is on the 18th.
That's all. Okay, so that. And do we need to have a meeting?
Yes. Summertime, things are happening.
What?
Things are happening. We always need to have a meeting in summertime. Things are happening.
Okay, then.
Second Saturday is the 10th.
Second Saturday is the 10th of June.
Oh, yeah.
Alex. And that's on Father's Day weekend.
Okay, so it'll be the 10th and here?
Yeah.
And I would suggest we don't start at 10. For those of us that might not live out here, we start at 11 maybe. 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
11 o'clock.
That a compromise, everybody?
Okay. 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Saturday.
Yeah. Or that goes right through eating lunch, but we could forego lunch or...
Eat late breakfast.
Eat late breakfast. Here you go. All right.
Bring refreshments today or pick up on your way to our train. So.
Then with that, unless there's anything else that needs to be brought up before the board, we will stand adjourned until the 10th of June.